Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Here we go again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the World Cup Rambles, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Spanner. Luke Moore's here.
Surgical.
Jimmy Campbell's here. And Pete Donaldson.
Jim smells like beer, everyone.
Easy. Love that. Bloody love it.
Right. See you next week.
We march on.
That's all you've listened for.
We're in the semi.
Tee-hee. We're still there.
Oh, my goodness. Marvellous stuff from England.
Yes.
Easy peasy.
We've all got a semi. We have all got a collective semi to look forward to.
It turns out it was absolutely fine to underestimate Sweden.
Yeah.
They're not that good.
If anything, we overestimate.
Yeah, we do.
I loved the chat from Sweden before the game. Well, England are going to underestimate us, therefore we'll win.
Yeah.
Are you getting the irony of that?
Yeah. That's not happened, has it?
Yeah.
No.
They're spoilt, those England players.
It was a comprehensive performance, Marcus.
It was, yeah.
It was a, as I said, when I said surgical at the start of the show, I meant that Jim smells a bit like surgical spirit.
But, I will do.
But
Jim smells like dad. It was
Jim's had a lovely old time, hasn't he?
Jim smells like the reason dad was taken away, Mark. No, but the performance, I was particularly enamoured with the style of performance, because you've got to think, Sweden are there on merit, they're an obdurate, difficult to break down side on paper. And England were just probing, taking their time, dominating the ball, finding the spaces. It was almost like one of those things where you're watching it thinking, I don't know what to feel here.
Yeah.
Because there's no way we're not going to win this game. Mm-hmm. Which is an incredible, in a World Cup quarterfinal, that is an incredible feeling as an England fan.
In the first 10 minutes, I think they got a little bit, they took a little bit of time to get going.
Just took their time, didn't they?
But they really came into their own 10 minutes in and never really let up. I mean, Pickford, he was probably man of the match because he had probably
the most important things
to do. And he was incredible, but I just think it's an all-round performance. It was really professional. Yes. Really professional.
First semi-final since 1990
in the World Cup. You can only play what's in front of you, Marcus. Yes.
You can, and that was the first World Cup, I think, Jim, Luke and I. Mm. And then the first two tournaments, Euro 92 really passed me by. First two tournaments of England, 90 and 96, England reached semi-finals. So, that was the sort of the bar.
Yeah.
And then there was a number of quarter-finals. I didn't think we'd have to wait this long for another one, but it does feel bloody good to
be
there.
I've got to say, I wondered if we would ever get there again.
Yeah, there was a feeling of that.
In our youth. Mm. We lost to Iceland. Like, yep. Not long ago. And now we're in a World Cup semi-final. And it's about these moments, isn't it? It gets to a point where it becomes about more than football.
Yeah.
The country is so united and happy.
Yeah, and I think the biggest, without getting too sort of sentimental about it, whatever happens now, the biggest achievement and the most positive thing long-term is that the break between the fans and the squad has been repaired.
Mm.
And the connection is now being felt by everyone. And, of course, it would be much better for us to win the World Cup. Look, if you said to people, would you rather have an England team that aren't that popular but they win the World Cup, or would you reconnect some ephemeral idea of the connection between the fans, you would take the World Cup. But the point is, we might do both.
Yeah.
And the fact that we've already done one is a really positive thing, because that's the thing that's going to keep England players buoyed and happy and focused when it comes to these qualification games that will come around quite quick, and the Nations League and all this other stuff. The interest in the England team has been completely rekindled, and I hope they go and continue to tour around the country and all that kind of stuff. But before that, I hope they bloody win the thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's been lovely, because I think a lot of people who perhaps support other teams or are not so interested, maybe a little bit sneery towards England. Certainly living in London, there is a feeling of...
I thought you were talking about Scottish people.
No, not necessarily. I'm talking, I don't know, a few Aussie mates, you know, that kind of thing, and who live here, and they think, actually, do you know what, I want them to do quite well, because they are not... they seem like a good bunch, and I think Southgate at the helm makes a difference when you have a decent bloke in charge of England, of course. And there is a wonderful euphoric feeling at the moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the power of memes as well, isn't it? People just want to get on board with
and
it.
And a waistcoat.
And memes and a waistcoat, it turns out. It's funny how these things work out. But Dele Alli before the tournament, Dele Alli's a young man and possibly, you know, indicative of the younger generation's attitude towards the national team, in a sense, despite him playing for them, said that he'd never seen David Beckham sending off in 1998 like that.
Yeah.
To me, that seems part of the England furniture. But even someone who played for England is so disconnected from it that he's never even seen that. Well, that's mad to me. This feels like that, as you said, that damage is being repaired.
Well, the thing is, Southgate has said is he's saying to the players, we write our own stories and we create our own thing, which is absolutely true. It's a funny one, isn't it, when you get bogged down by the baggage. You know, in that England manager's Impossible Job documentary, you know, Capello said, 1966, the ghost of 66 lingering over everything, and one or two others, the penalty shootouts and so on. It really shouldn't be the case. You know, as you say, Dele Alli, what's he got to do with Beckham getting sent off in 98 or a penalty failure in 06 or whatever it may be? Absolute nonsense. And Southgate said, right, let's get rid of all that and try and do this. Now, who knows? England could get beaten on penalties against Croatia. They seem pretty handy in those penalty competitions, you know. But it's just so nice to have this, you know. And let's talk about the game itself.
Yeah.
Southgate started with the same starting 11 that he had against Colombia. It seems to be his preferred choice. And some people, myself included, maybe thought Rose might come in for Young. There were suggestions of Rashford maybe coming in for Sterling. But actually, the way the team played, you think, fair dues, Pete.
It feels like a team.
Sterling was the only player who got rinsed by the general population, so to speak.
Even though he played actually pretty well.
Well, that's the thing. I think, to be honest, this is the first match where I thought, when he messed up, I think, a fairly decent chance in the first half, I was like, this World Cup isn't going for him at all. But then, as the match went on, I was like, he scares the shit out of defenders.
You realise his importance.
He's so quick.
I was exactly going to say that. You'd have to be a blind man. Even if you're someone who comes to football and only watches the World Cup, you'd have to be blind to not see how scared Sweden are, Sterling, and his movement and his runs.
And that situation where the keeper got a hand to the shot and he took a decision to shoot.
Yeah.
Kane was in a terrible position. He couldn't get the ball over to Alli at the back post. Like, he was more than adequately placed to have a shot himself, but the defender
He's also the only criticism you could level at him, and it's an obvious criticism, and it's the most obvious, is the fact that he's not a natural finisher.
Yeah.
And if he plays in a team like Guardiola's Man City for the whole season, and he picks up 20 goals because he gets so many chances.
Yeah.
The positions he takes up, he's playing a slightly different position for England, by the way, of course. The positions he takes up, the runs he makes, the way he stretches the teams he plays against so other people can drop in. And it was really important. There's absolutely no chance now, although we made the comment ahead of the game yesterday, there might be some changes. I would be absolutely stunned if that team doesn't start against Croatia now. Just because, yes, fine, Sterling missed a couple of chances, but his importance to the team is really paramount. And also, if you're going to level that sort of criticism at Kane, well, why not level Sterling? Why not level it at Kane? Kane put in a really selfless, led from the front, strong, target man type game yesterday. Didn't really come close to scoring a goal, yet no one's really criticising him.
So Ali's goal, kind of, again,
it's funny, isn't it?
Fairly middling performance. He looks a bit injured. I don't know.
He said himself, it wasn't his best performance, but he got a goal against Colombia. He had a header at the back post for 2-0 and he missed, so he'll be pleased to score.
And Spurs fans, including our old mate John, but a lot of Spurs fans, I've worked with a few of them over the years and a couple of seasons they held and stuff, and they all said the same thing. Ali can drift through games, but he's tactically very good, and he always pop up with a goal. He always pop up with an important goal, and of course he did that yesterday. Yeah.
And with Sterling as well, the importance of those runs in. Sweden, in the first half, offered very little going forward. Yeah. Second half, they made Pickford work. Now, I don't think England were in that much trouble, really, throughout the game, but they needed the second goal. And of course, if they do score one of those goals, then it does change the complexity. You fancy England to then turn the screw. But with Sterling, Sweden would have wanted to push up a bit and try and squeeze England and really try to go for it. With Sterling, they just couldn't do that. Yeah. With Granqvist going against Sterling, there's no way. And so Sterling is so crucial because he negates that and he makes sure the pitch is kind of stretched like that. And it's so vital, really.
I don't see any merit at all in saying, oh yeah, but Sweden had chances. I mean, it's the World Cup quarterfinal. Sweden are there on merit. They're not going to come there and just accept a beating. Now, Pickford made the saves he had to make, and he made them well, and he deserves credit for that. I personally wouldn't have given him man of the match. I think he did what was expected of him. I think he probably made two outstanding saves and one save he should have made, and he deserves credit for doing that. For me, man of the match again was Harry Maguire.
The way he
it's not just the fact that he scored a great goal, like a textbook centre back powerful goal.
Love that.
It's the way he joins the midfield.
Yeah,
I think. It's incredible to me how good he looks on that stage. And it's my fault for underestimating him. But going into the Colombia game, I wondered whether they should have played Cahill ahead of him.
I thought he might do that.
Because he's got more experience, because he knows Cuadrado and Falcao probably a bit better. He'd have a much more even head in what was going to be clearly a sort of pretty tempestuous affair. But Maguire shone, and he shone again against Sweden. And you'd have to say, for me, from what I've seen, Rafa Varane and Diego Godin are the only two defenders in this tournament that have impacted it as much as he has.
He's had a lot of the ball, hasn't he?
He deserves so much credit because he seems to have everything in his locker. He looks like a sort of, as you said before, Jim, like a farmhand.
Yeah.
But he's got like a sort of, it's a weirdly sort of seductive first touch. Yeah. You think, oh, he's controlled that really well that time. But then he does it every time.
It's
very, very odd. But it's been good for him.
It's been the case since the Tunisia game as well that England's back three has suited all three of those players because we've seen Stones, Walker and Maguire carry the ball out of defence with the other two backing them up in case anything happens. And it seems that Maguire has flourished with that opportunity.
Mm. Absolutely. England are 7-5 with Bet365 to beat Croatia in 90 minutes on Wednesday. £10 will return £24, including stake. And that, as a public service announcement, just a reminder, is a World Cup semi-final.
A World Cup semi-final.
What about Jordan Henderson? Hey, he's been crucial.
Fantastic.
Mm. He's been marvellous for England in that role. Really taken to it. Great engine on him, as we know, defensively, but also going forward, has played so many passes forward, and Southgate would have said that to him. He would have said, go forward, you've got two nimble and very skillful runners in front of you in Dele Alli and Lingard. You've got boys out wide and you've got two guys in front of you. Go forward. Now, England may have to rethink that, potentially for Croatia, in terms of who they play in there. Maybe not. Maybe he does go with the same thing. But Henderson has been so crucial. And the cover he gives in the defence, and that was personified in that block when Pickford's sort of second save, notable save, was made. And Henderson was the one in front of the attacker to block the game. And you've got to say, Jim, he's been absolutely magnificent, hasn't he?
Yeah, he really, really has as well. He's had sort of some doubters going into the tournament as well. But one of the things I just love about this team in general is I think you could pick out any one of that starting 11 and single them out for praise. They have all just done, you know, what you would expect them to do for players of their ability. And that's what we've wanted from England for a long time. We've spent a long time like lamenting, you know, Wayne Rooney and Joe Hart and Theo Walcott coming off the bench and thinking, oh, why aren't we getting more out of these players? And now we're doing it. And it's just a wonderful thing to behold.
I thought it was a nice touch from Southgate, actually, in some of his post-match comments. He mentioned a lot of players who are not with the side. You know, he said...
He's very purposely done that, hasn't he?
Very much so, yeah. But I do like Southgate, you know, and
that other one that was in the stand.
That was the Southgate lookalike.
That was amazing.
I thought that
very weird.
I thought that was Southgate, and I thought it's half time. He's in the stand with the fans. I was like,
how can he? I was like, let him go out. Let him get out.
He was dressed so well, that guy.
Yeah,
he's exactly like Southgate.
I thought to myself, teeth are very different.
Yeah, oh, is that right? I didn't see that.
His teeth are very different.
I thought to myself, I'll tell you
who was with him. You know who was with him? This is a bit of a sort of a bit of a esoteric point. But you remember Steve Grant, who played for the Ramble team?
Yeah.
He was with him.
Oh, was he?
I saw him on TV, yeah. Yeah. He follows England home and away.
Yeah. He does. Yeah. It's a big Southampton fan.
Can I go back to... We'll gloss over that. He is a pal of mine.
What I wanted to say about Southgate, that he said, you know, picked out a few players, and then he said, but even the guys... He said, they're all England fans. They all get this. And he said to the players... If you are successful with England, it will be bigger than anything you do with your clubs. And I think that has been lost in recent years with England. And he said, even the boys who were on standby, Heaton, Lallana, Livermore. And then he said, players who have helped us in qualifying. He mentioned Joe Hart and said Joe Hart made a great save against Slovenia in a qualifier. It's nice to remember these players. I'm sure Joe Hart won't find too much consolation in that.
He was playing cricket yesterday for Shrewsbury Cricket Club.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, at least he's making the most of his time off.
Yeah, you know. I don't think he might not have even watched the game.
Oh,
I don't know. I can't confirm that. But on the Henderson point, I really wanted to make this clear. Henderson gets criticism, and Jim, you've mentioned it, and I think you're right. And the two main reasons he gets criticism, one is because Man United fans don't like him. Man United fans are huge in number, and that's based on the fact that Alex Ferguson slated him once. And two, because people have an idea of Henderson. That once it gets into your mind, once a player is pigeonholed in that way, it pervades and it sticks around. And the criticism people level at Jordan Henderson is essentially a 2015-ish opinion about Jordan Henderson. Mm. And it doesn't take into account how much he's improved as a player, how much he's matured under Klopp and with the performances he's put in for Liverpool in the last year or two. This is a guy who has anchored the midfield for the Champions League finalists last season, and the guy who is now... In the World Cup semi-final, is part of the central part of a spine of an England team that have outperformed any other England team since 1990 in World Cups. He deserves an immense amount of credit. He can do pretty much everything. And if you have an opinion of Henderson, at least make it a current opinion. At least next time he plays against Croatia, and you know, I'm sure he'll have an absolute stinker now I've said this, watch how well he does stuff like, not just these passes, he passes the ball short and long very well these days. Look how quickly he sees danger. If I was going to make a comparison between him and Eric Dier, both play the same role in essentially a different way, I would say Henderson sees danger much more quickly than any other player in that position, to the point where he doesn't actually have to do anything because he's already there. It's almost like he sees it happening before it happens. I think he's a fantastic player, and I think he's really underrated.
I completely agree with you, and I think that going back to your point of people giving him a 2015 or maybe England 2014 write-up, I think... Perhaps there's an element of people being a bit dismissive of footballers. You know, we used to see footballers peak in their late 20s, sometimes even early 30s, but it was usually late 20s, certainly mid 20s as well. Nowadays, people think, oh, if you're not a superstar by 21, then you're sort of a bit second rate.
And if you don't play in a superstar type position either.
Exactly. And sometimes that is the stockpiling of young talent of clubs like Chelsea and Man City's fault, because you have this young promising player, and if he doesn't really perform well, you think, all right, fine, just loan him, and he doesn't really work out. I mean, look at someone like Jack Rodwell. I know it seems strange to mention him while we're talking about semi-finals of World Cups, but the wider point, you know, he's a player with great ability, but he's just been not nurtured. Maybe he's attitude, whatever it may be, and he's gone by the wayside. And because of the likes of Ronaldo and Messi making such a splash at such a young age, I think if you know, Henderson gets to the age of, say, 22, 23, and he's not performing like he is now, people go, oh, well, he's just that guy, isn't he? And you're absolutely right. People need to rate him as he is now. And he has improved so much. And that is an enormous amount of credit. To improve like that as a footballer is just as big of an achievement in some senses as being a superstar at the age of 19, 20, Kylian Mbappe.
I think it's more impressive. I think because you've taken the gifts you've been... You couldn't say that Jordan Henderson is anywhere near as talented as half the players that you see at this World Cup. Mm. And I've interviewed... I mean, we've got an interview coming out with a Premier League player later in the summer. I've interviewed plenty of players. And we saw Thierry Henry say it as well in the punditry. It doesn't matter about talent. I've heard football players saying to me, I couldn't tell you how many players are more talented than me in my age group, for my county team or whatever. Mm. Thousands of players around the country are more talented than me. but it only gets you so far. Of course, talent is important. I don't mean, in context, it doesn't mean nothing. But Lionel Messi wouldn't be the player he is without the amount of work he puts in. Look at people say about Harry Kane. You know, he's the go-to guy for training after training, for practicing
stuff. Harry Kane was one who has improved so much over the years.
So England, and that's a hallmark of this England team. Jim, you're talking about...
Kyle Walker, another one.
Yeah, you're talking... Jim's talking about, these players are doing what we expected of them, and we've been waiting for that for a long time. They're doing more than this is expected of them because they're working so hard. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we can all relate to. And they're now 11-4 joint favourites to win, joint second favourites to win the World Cup with Bet365.
Madness.
£10 returns, £37.50, including stake. England are joint second favourites to win the World Cup.
They are, and they don't have any suspensions going into the semi-final, which is a plus as well.
I thought they controlled the game against Sweden really, really well, to the point where they were even able to bring Henderson off to avoid a suspension.
Yes.
And didn't really look in any trouble.
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned Trippier because we're so used to these performances he's putting in. And Ashley Young played well out on...
And we'll cover it on Tuesday, but the matchups between England and Croatia, who I would argue are a team that are less than the sum of their parts, are actually really exciting for England.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about Croatia, England semi-final opponents, of course, after this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
It's just unbelievable. I couldn't believe our witnesses. It's quite emotional, actually.
Oh, the Waddler.
That's great to hear.
Chrissy Waddle.
Because he went on that infamous rant, didn't he, last time England got knocked out.
They're all just headphones.
Yeah, and now he's come full circle.
Yeah.
And now he's crying. He's never happy.
Oh,
they're all just footballers.
They're all just winners.
Actually, thinking about it, if he said that on the radio, he would have had headphones on himself, shouldn't
he? Yeah, he did. The video footage of him, he did have it. And with a little CW on his headphones. Got his own CW. Pair.
And a number.
That's money, isn't it? That's Beeb money, isn't it?
That is, yeah. You're on the gravy train.
Yeah. Right. I can feel you ordering one online right now.
Have some, but mine got stolen.
The hosts are out.
No, let's talk about England again.
Oh, we can do. If you want, make the most of this while they're still in it. Although, who knows? They could get to that final. Another penalty that win for Croatia. Slightly strange match for my money.
Yeah.
At times, I felt like neither side really wanted to go and win it. They were just trying to avoid losing it, really.
Cagey, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, the opening goal was a stunning one, which is what we've come to expect from that player in this World Cup. Old
it was so like, he didn't have that much room. It was a bit of a channel he had to hit, and he hit it perfectly well.
Gary Neville did one again, didn't he? We lost it again, Neville.
He's about Cheryshev's goal.
He's
annoyed about the goalkeeper.
It's a metre and a half inside the post. The keeper's got to save that all day long or something like that. Yeah, yeah. Jim's gutted.
He's melting down. He's had a long season, Gary. Yeah.
I did actually quite.
His mate got chucked because he spat everywhere.
Yeah.
So he's having to carry that channel. So now he's like,
just give him a moment because he's finally allowed to understand what's happening here.
I just feel like Gary Neville is widely regarded as probably the best pundit in the country. I think we all would broadly agree
one
with
off,
that.
Or
certainly,
off.
He's in the conversation. Outside,
in the top five, room, yeah. In the top five, and we're the other four.
But, right, goals are the best bit. They're the best bit. Why are you angry about goals? That's mental.
Well, yeah, but that's not the point. The point he was saying was the goalkeeper.
It's the point he makes every time someone scores, Marcus.
Yeah.
It's mental.
The context is that he has been doing this for a while.
Yeah, I did find it amusing where he's now aware of what people think of this. So he said, for me, I think the goalkeeper should save that. It's not that far from him. He can see it. I know people at home will disagree and be angry. You know, my view.
Yeah. but I think there was a kind of a point in there, which was because Cheryshev hit it so early.
Yes.
The goalkeeper is standing just inside his 6-yard line. And if he's taken a step back, he probably would find it easier to have a go at it.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is Air Jordan would have saved it. But it was a lovely goal. It was a lovely goal.
Yes.
And it set Russia off on the right foot. And, you know, at the risk of tempting fate, Croatia seemed to me a bit like an England of 10 years ago, but with better players. Mm. I
don't know about that because a couple of performances they put in the group stages, we never saw that from England 10 years ago.
True. But I guess the comparison comes from the idea that when the pressure's on, when it's difficult, they don't seem to want to step up. And the reason I make the comparison, and again, at the risk of Gary Nevilling myself, all over the Ramble community, like I did with Lawrenson yesterday. is there something to be said about Modric and Rakitic in the middle not quite being able to click?
They need Brozovic behind them.
But they didn't. But they had Brozovic behind them against Denmark and it didn't work for them then either.
Yeah, true. But you can have those types of performances. Denmark were very, very defensive and Croatia should have won it before the penalty shootout. If not for that Modric penalty miss, of course. I think that actually, to talk about the aforementioned Mr. Neville, he made a good point that this is a step up for England. England played a Colombia side who looked a bit scared of England at times or wanted to use underhand tactics.
Yeah, they were like a rat trapped in the corner, just lashing out.
Basically. Exactly, yeah, which was, in hindsight, was a bit of a shame, especially for the neutral. England played a Sweden side they'd be expected to beat, really. The two group games England won, again, very much expected to win them against Belgium. It was the two second strings. This is a different challenge, and this is a step up. And actually, I think if England are to get to the final, if they can beat Croatia, I think this is actually a good game because I think against Russia would have. Well, I mean, I'm glad we're all spared all the bollocks that the tabloids would have come out with if England played Russia in the political climate, but we don't need to talk about that because it's not happening.
We were talking about Croatia, Marcus.
And so England against Croatia. Croatia are going to, it is a bit of a 50-50 game. Croatia are going to hit England and England are going to hit Croatia and it's going to be a bit more back and forth. You would suggest they're not just going to sit off England and soak it up and try and deny them space. I mean, they may try and do that as well. And so England have got to be very, very aware. It's a much bigger test for England.
There's no football between now and Tuesday and we need to cover it on Tuesday. So let's do the Croatia-Russia game.
Of course. And I was just going to wind down and say that while we're
going to need, a big transfer between now and Tuesday otherwise.
Yeah, indeed we are.
Are the two players in the centre of the Croatian midfield? Lampard and Gerrard.
That's
all I'm saying.
That's what I was alluding to. I was alluding to that. I'm just seeing if you guys were filling the blanks, but no one took the bait, Pete.
Yeah, I don't think they are. I
dangled Lampard and Gerrard on the end of a little fishing hook.
Yeah.
See if any of you fish would have a little
bit
nibble.
Eventually.
Yeah, they nibbled later.
I had a late nibble.
I got no one in the keep net.
Midnight nibble.
Though. No one in the keep net.
Yeah, Cherchesov looked very angry at times on the sidelines.
He was trying to G the crowd up.
He was trying to get the crowd going because it looked a little bit flat at times. It wasn't the atmosphere of the Spain game because I think the Russian fans were like, oh, we're in a situation now where we really don't want to lose. You know, against Spain, I think it was a case of, oh, well, it's just great. We came through the group.
Yeah,
let's just try and frustrate them and annoy them and get under their skin. We've got them going. Whereas this was kind of like, we've got 1-0 up and, okay, Croatia equalised, but it was kind of like, oh, crap, a semi-final's at stake here.
Yeah.
And
did Cherchesov have a look-alike dressed like him in the crowd?
Almost certainly.
And if he did, was it Del Bosque?
He did liken going out of this tournament as leaving the army early without wanting to.
Okay.
That's not because you've been killed. That's because
what a relatable what a relatable simile.
Yeah. I think it is the perfect moment to point out that Russia have played a huge part in this tournament.
Oh, absolutely.
They impressed. They achieved a lot more than anyone expected. I mean, they were being talked about as the worst hosts ever going into the tournament. They set their stall out with that early big win in the first game. Mm. And really, they deserve a lot of credit for setting the tempo for the rest of the tournament. Mm. If you think about it, if we all get ready for a World Cup, which, as we know, only comes along once every 4 years, everyone gets excited, and that's a 0-0, you think, oh, God.
Yeah.
But it's a 5-0, and everyone sat up and thought,
Saudi Arabia played their part in that
as
well.
Yeah, yeah. and continued to play their part.
And how long ago does that feel? It's one of the glorious things about the World Cup.
It was about 3 years ago.
It was brilliant.
It was 500 goals ago. Girls? 500 goals ago.
Peter,
in my life.
I was going to say, we don't all live your lifestyle.
They've also, not only have they had some notable wins, they've had some players that people can actually, you know, get behind. Some players who might get some moves to a team we might see him playing more often.
Well, Golovin and Cheryshev have been.
Cheryshev has had a lovely tournament.
Yeah, Cheryshev's been fantastic. He scored probably at least two of the best goals of the tournament.
Who's the old boy at the back?
Oh, Yashevich.
Yeah, has he got another move?
Ah, oh, 39.
Soon enough.
Yeah. Loving it.
Barely moves now.
He loves it. He puts away his penalty quite well in the shooter.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine that? Do you fancy a move? I'm not sure if I've got the legs. What, to play? No, to get there. To actually get to the departure
sign
gate.
The contract.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
He was great. He's played really well. Scored, put his penalty away again.
His penalty away,
no
Peter.
No mucking about. I thought that penalty shootout was remarkable.
It was. Zagoyev came on after being out for a few weeks. And you could tell.
Nice story, that.
Yeah, he was desperate to get another game under his belt at the World Cup.
Yeah.
He came on, he was G'ing the crowd up. Lovely assist for the equaliser from Fernandez. But I just want to mention that Vida goal for Croatia. Mm. What a squirmy one.
Yeah.
That shouldn't settle a quarter final at a World Cup.
The sort of goal that a man who looked like that would score.
Yeah. he looks quite
that
big,
hair
he's quite
is tough.
Little ratty goal. Yeah. Little ratty goal.
Little ratty goal.
Rat in a net.
Yeah. Nice one, Jim.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
Rat Putin or something. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on from that crap. Zagoyev came on, and amazing, really, that he turned that injury around, because it was it a hamstring injury?
Yeah,
normally that could be
three
sort of
weeks.
5 or 6 weeks.
It depends on the grade of the tear, apparently.
Of course, it always depends on the grade of the tear.
Very much like sandpaper,
like sunburn, Pete, in your case. Yeah. The penalty shootout was remarkable purely because Subasic, who was a good penalty taker, someone was saying he saves. Saver. He saves, I think, a third on average of penalties in his career.
That's mad.
Or either his career or his time at the current club he's at.
That's worrying for England.
Yeah. But the thing that was remarkable about it, just to get to the point eventually, is that he was so clearly injured.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He couldn't actually dive in a way you'd expect. He was diving like an outfield player would dive.
Yes.
But no one seemed to have told the Russians. So it was like, to Fernandez and Smolov, right, whatever you do, right, hit it fairly hard down one of the sides, it's probably going to go in.
Yeah.
First one up, dink. Terrible.
But
second miss, didn't even hit the target.
But the dink, it, like everybody said, if you're going to dink it, you go down the middle.
Yeah.
You don't dink it to the side. I mean, you should never really dink a penalty anyway, because it's ridiculous. If you're going to dink it down the middle, at least hit it with a little bit of pace. Mm. It was a ridiculous penalty. And then, obviously, Akinfeev made a great save. And Modric was lucky with his, wasn't he?
Mm. He was very lucky. I was pleased for Akinfeev, who seems to have sort of rescued his reputation as this guy who has never quite fulfilled his potential. He was excellent throughout the tournament, I think, and he was able to save a penalty as well, which is great.
And he was the hero against Spain.
Fantastic. Good for him.
Yeah. Kept a clean sheet against Spain over 120 minutes.
I mean,
not clean sheet, sorry. I've said that before.
Yeah.
Okay, they kept them at bay for 120 minutes. And then, of course, was the hero in the penalty shootout. So he's had a good tournament. The whole of the Russian side have had a good tournament.
They've written themselves into World Cup lore.
I mean, massively.
Before the tournament, the same way England, we're losing our minds about a semi-final. If you said to Russia, you're going to get to within a penalty shootout of a semi, they'd have snapped your hand off.
Well, and they overcame Spain, who, despite not playing very well, it's still a huge team to overcome.
Yeah.
And Croatia, you know, are a good side. You look at the Croatian players, you know, you've got at least two world-class players in there. You've got some others who play at Inter and Liverpool and whatnot. You know, Russia.
I think Croatia have got a huge amount of good. I mean, Mandzukic is a ridiculously underrated player given what he's won.
Yep.
Perisic was being linked to £50 million move to Man United not that long ago.
They've got a good side.
Lovren's played in the Champions League final this season. So
absolutely,
you've got got a lot, and Subasic is a fantastic keeper. So they've got a lot of good players. Croatia are 4-1 outsiders to win the trophy. £10 with Bet365 returns £50, including stake. Favourites are France. There's England and Belgium locked together, and then Croatia.
I'm surprised England and Belgium are locked together. I'd have had Belgium, I'd have France, Belgium, then England.
Well, it's because Belgium are playing France.
Yeah,
so
true.
So it makes it harder for them.
Well, that's an obvious point.
I do make them sometimes.
Well, we're looking forward to that France-Belgium semi-final, of course. I mean, again with the way Belgium are playing, they've won 5 out of 5, scoring a lot of goals. They will be thinking it's their tournament, so will France.
Listen, then... I don't think anyone can be under any illusions. If England get to a final, they'll be huge outsiders to win it.
Yeah.
France and Belgium are better than England.
Yeah.
I think the question marks that we've posed, or I've posed, I suppose, about Martinez have been answered. The players that both those teams have at their disposal are far better than England. But, and it is a big but, it's a final. You know, Liverpool beat Milan in the Champions League final. Greece beat Portugal in a Euro final. Yeah. If you're in the final, you've got a chance of winning.
Looking at fractions, decent defence, Maguire, all of our defenders are in pretty decent nick, and the keeper seems to be pulling off like,
but it also
pretty decent
goes
saves.
For, that Pete, all
name
goes
on the trophy,
for,
is that
all
saying?
Goes get, for Croatia as well.
Start the drill now. Start the little drill they used to carve out the name. Now.
Yeah.
Just fire it up now.
Is that
just,
what it is, a little drill?
It's a little drill, yeah. It's a little kind of like,
okay. Yeah. I learned something there.
But what you're saying is whoever wins out of France v Belgium will be favourites. Whoever wins out of England versus Croatia will think they've got a fighting chance.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely right. Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
Well, before we go to our best bet with Bet365, I have good news to report.
Yes.
That yesterday's best bet was a winner.
Yay!
Yes. Pete, you probably want to do some sort of like jingle there. Probably for. Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
I wiped them all for
World
Cup.
Can you just do one with your mouth?
Whoa, bloody hell, it's a winner.
And fitting with the Yorkshire vibe in the England team.
Oh, bloody hell, it's a winner.
Through a cup, excellent.
Yeah, that's Frank Sidebottom.
The darkness,
Pete,
shaped me.
Is that Bane? I'm not very good at quoting films.
Right, that's enough now.
I'm Bane, I live in a cave.
Bane is this.
You merely adopted people.
That's it.
Oh, it was born.
No, Baines is... Can't understand what you're saying, mate.
Okay. Anyway, right. £250 for Prostate Cancer UK has been raised with the best bet yesterday, so everyone's very happy about that. The best bet for this show is for the France-Belgium semi-final, and we've gone for both teams to score and over 2.5 goals in 90 minutes, which is 7-5 with Bet365. £50 on that will return £120, including stake. So look out for that one. That's both teams to score and 3 or more goals in 90 minutes. You have to be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. And all proceeds, of course, as you've already heard, will go to Prostate Cancer UK.
Marvellous. Petey.
Hello.
Let's finish with...
Don't check your own prostate. Go to a professional.
Let's have some correspondence.
We've only got one email
That's
today.
It's fine, mate. It's
all
fine.
Right. It's not a good one. Did you really want it?
It's not from Jim, is it? About no. 1 this morning.
Grant Alpo, that one, he says. Have we had a Grant Alpo before?
Not sure what you mean. Don't even understand the question.
Hey, lads. Love the show, even as an Arsenal fan. If Spurs win the World Cup, I'm fucking done with football. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Sod off, you miserable git.
Yeah, I'd even take that.
43% of players left in the World Cup are Premier League-based players.
Smashing.
And 41% of them are Spurs players. Jim, what were you up to last night for the listeners?
Boozing.
I was in a lovely little town called Wendover, visiting my friend and his relatively new baby. And yet this still happened.
Relatively new baby. Did the baby give you booze?
I can't remember.
You can't get booze from baby.
Lots of people.
How did you get home? Train?
Yeah.
But all night train, is it?
No. I mean, I got home relatively early. I just had a really nice time.
Okay.
Yeah.
He had a relatively nice time.
No, he said he had really a really nice time.
An absolutely nice time.
Because England, lest we forget, got to a semi-final of a World Cup.
And whatever happens, we get to play the maximum amount of games.
Yes.
Easy.
We're playing in a runners-up competition in something.
You're excited about that?
Woo!
Yeah. That is very brand.
Hands on the bronze. Love that. Well, thank you very much for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. We're back on Wednesday, the 11th of July, ahead of England versus Croatia in that semi-final. Of course, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Petey.
I'm full of money. Let's dink.
Let's say goodbye from me in London. London Good.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.